It's legal up to 9 months in Albuquerque.
Yeah, I should.
9 months, Albuquerque.
On the sidewalks along Central Avenue here in Albuquerque, Lauren Handy and about 15 other pro-life activists are doing their best to get an informational pamphlet about late-term abortion into the hands of pedestrians.
We actually had someone change their mind, even up to first trimester, and this is why we're out here, change hearts and minds.
Farther up the road, Eric DeLau and about 15 other young adults are holding signs with pictures of what appear to be bloody fetuses.
Do you think it's okay to kill babies, you know, U.S. citizens? It's just not right.
Andy and DeLau are actually not from Albuquerque. They're members of a California-based group called Survivors of the Abortion Holocaust. They, along with two other major pro-life groups, hosted an activist training camp here last week, and together they turned Albuquerque into an abortion battleground of sorts, hosting protests in front of the Holocaust Museum, UNM, and various other locations across the city.
People claim to be pro-choice, but they don't really know what that choice means. People here need to know the truth of what's going on. Then they should have an opinion. Then they should be able to vote. They need to be informed. So we're here to provide that information for them.
The key word here being vote, because these protesters aren't just trying to change the hearts and minds of those considering abortions. They're also trying to sway public opinion. A new ballot initiative called the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Ordinance would ask Albuquerque voters to decide whether abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy, or so-called late-term abortions, should stay legal in the city.
We were thinking, well, what can we do here in the late-term abortion capital of the country? We have abortion through all 9 months.
Albuquerque's Project Defending Life is one of the groups sponsoring the legislation. According to spokeswoman Tara Shaver, they collected over 27,000 signatures, more than double the number required by city law for an initiative to get a spot on the ballot.
We always have a hard time at the legislative level, so we thought, well, let's see what we can do in the city.
Late-term abortion capital of the country is a term being thrown around a lot amongst these pro-life activists. It's referring to the fact that Albuquerque is home to one of only a handful of clinics in the nation that openly performs such procedures, and that New Mexico has fewer restrictions on abortions than many other states. Shaver adds that while she'd like to see abortion banned altogether in New Mexico, this is a good start.
You know, we're going to take what we can get, and this bill is very strong, and it does resonate with the hearts of the American people.
Well, not all the American people.
This is really a way to erode at women's access to abortion overall. And this is a tactic that folks are taking to try and really chip away at that.
In response to the ballot initiative, a coalition of women's advocacy groups have launched a counter campaign called Respect ABQ Women. Adrienne Barboa is with Strong Families New Mexico, one of the effort's partner organizations.
We're going to use this as an opportunity to really have these conversations with our communities about the importance of keeping safe and legal abortions for the health and safety of women.
In the weeks leading up to the election, Respect ABQ Women officials say volunteers will be campaigning heavily around the city, door knocking, phone banking, and hosting a series of safe conversations. The ultimate goal, they say, is to make sure the initiative doesn't pass. But if it does, organizations like the ACLU of New Mexico are arguing that it would be challenged in court immediately.
The law is pretty blatantly unconstitutional.
ACLU spokesman Micah McCoy says lawyers within his organization argue that the 20-week ban violates the precedent established by Roe v. Wade, which found that women cannot be improperly restricted in her choice to have an abortion before a fetus is viable, which is typically recognized to begin around 23 to 24 weeks of pregnancy. Federal courts have already struck down more strict measures in other states, such as North Dakota's 6-week ban and Arkansas's 12-week ban, for the same reason.
It's always better to have an unconstitutional law defeated before it becomes law.
But that may not be possible. If enough of the initiative's signatures are verified, city council officials say they must put the measure in front of voters. The only question now is when. The city clerk has until August 19th to finish verifying the signatures for the measure to make it on the ballot for this fall's mayoral race. If they miss that deadline, a special election could be ordered or it could appear in a runoff election. For KUNM, I'm Carrie Young.
It's 5:04. This is KUNM. I'm Andy Lyman. The ACLU of New Mexico joined several other groups today to announce the launch of Respect ABQ Women. As KUNM's Carrie Young reports, the campaign is part of an effort to defeat a proposed ballot initiative that would ban late-term abortions in Albuquerque.
Women's advocacy groups and an alliance of community organizations met with supporters and members of the press today to launch the initiative in response to an effort by anti-abortion activists to get the Unborn Child Protection Ordinance on Albuquerque's October city ballot. Micah McCoy is with the ACLU of New Mexico. He says the proposed law is unconstitutional, adding that the state should continue to respect a woman's right to choose.
The decision whether to end a pregnancy belongs between a woman and her physician, and the government has no business interfering in that very personal decision.
Tara Shaver says her group, Project Defending Life, has turned in more than double the number of signatures needed to put the measure to voters. She adds that Albuquerque is being targeted because it's home to one of the few clinics in the country that offers late-term abortions. For KUNM, I'm Carrie Young. It's 7:06. This is KUNM. I'm Carrie Young. More than 200 people gathered in downtown Albuquerque yesterday to denounce the tactics used by an anti-abortion rights group recently. The rally was held in response to an anti-abortion protest that took place earlier this month, where advocates staged protests in locations across the city and held signs with pictures of bloody fetuses and messages comparing Albuquerque to the Jewish Holocaust. Sarah Koplik is the director of outreach for the Jewish Federation of New Mexico. She says the comparison is extremely inappropriate and describes the group's tactics as terrorizing to those who experience them.
There is no equivalency between genocide and abortion, and this comparison is deeply offensive to the entire Jewish community.
But Tara Shaver, a spokeswoman for the local anti-abortion rights group Project Defending Life, defends the comparison, arguing that about 50 million abortions have been performed in the U.S. since 1973. Lately, activists on both sides of the abortion debate have taken to the streets, since Albuquerque voters will soon be tasked with deciding the fate of a ballot initiative that would ban abortions past 20 weeks of pregnancy in the city. Back in 1998, Wendy Natoli says she was thrilled to find out she and her husband were pregnant again with their second baby. Everything was normal with her pregnancy until about 6 months in, when the couple went for their first ultrasound.
And the ultrasound showed that our baby wasn't developing correctly. Her kidneys weren't developing, her lungs weren't developing, her brain was developing wrong.
Further testing showed that Natoli's baby had a genetic deformity called trisomy 13, a condition that seriously impacts fetal development.
A prenatal specialist was called in, and right away she said, "Your baby's not going to be viable outside the womb." So basically, I was her life support.
At that point, Natoli says she could have chosen to terminate the pregnancy. Instead, she decided to carry her baby to term on the off chance the child would survive long enough for Natoli and her husband to hold her alive before cutting the umbilical cord. But Natoli's health quickly deteriorated.
Unfortunately, about a month before she was due to be born, I developed toxemia, which means I woke up in the middle of the night with very high blood pressure.
Toxemia, which is more commonly known as preeclampsia, is not unusual in women carrying babies with genetic deformities. It's a serious condition characterized by high blood pressure, swelling, and convulsions.
I was very, very sick, but at that moment, my life wasn't in immediate danger.
Natoli's doctors ultimately decided to induce her labor, and at an unknown point during the birthing process, the baby died. It's situations like these where some critics of Albuquerque's abortion ballot measure say the proposed law becomes a slippery slope, because had Natoli's preeclampsia caused her blood pressure to enter a critical range, she could have suffered a stroke, brain damage, or even died. Mary Lou Singleton is a practicing midwife and nurse practitioner in Albuquerque. She says she's concerned about the legal consequences medical providers would have to face when treating women with complicated pregnancies if voters approve the ordinance.
We're talking about doctors having to be placed in a situation where they have to decide, you know, under penalty of possibly going to jail, you know, is this woman almost dead enough that I can intervene now?
Singleton says for her, medicine is about intervening before there's a crisis. In her medical opinion, it's unethical to require doctors to stall treatment that might threaten the life of the baby until a woman's life is in immediate danger, as the city's ballot measure would require.
And there's no other branch of medicine where people would think that that's ethical or in any way okay. You know, a woman is not an incubator. A woman can't be forced to be a life support system for another person.
Project Defending Life's Tara Shaver, however, disagrees, maintaining that the health of the mother clause written into the ordinance is sufficient, adding that the times when it's medically necessary to end a pregnancy in order to save a woman's life are rare. And she says doctors caring for women in these situations should be competent enough to determine whether a woman's life is genuinely in danger.
They're trained, you know, they know how to respond quickly and to do what it takes to save lives. And so we're confident that doctors will be able to make those decisions. They're not going to play Russian roulette, I don't think.
Shaver says if there's a detectable heartbeat, then there's life. And a woman's doctor should be making every reasonable effort to protect it.
You know, doctors misdiagnose fetal anomalies and things like that all the time. And so I just really think that we need to err on the side of life, the baby's life. But we can't really be the judge of the quality of life because we can't predict the future.
The debate over whether abortions should be legal in Albuquerque is a highly charged one. Already, early voter turnout has surpassed last month's early voting in the mayoral race by 2-1. The polls will be opening again tomorrow at 7 a.m. For KUNM, I'm Carrie Young.